Blog Talk Radio.
Prisoner that it really freezes you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
This is Reverend Stan, and I got my guest speaker, Daniel Bryant Cook. How's it going, Daniel?
It's going great this morning. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Welcome to the show, and thanks for being my guest today, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I've heard a lot of things about the Jubilee, but I ain't really spoke about it a whole lot and ain't really stayed a whole lot on it. It's just, you know, you hear that here and there every once in a while, but you won't hear a whole lot about it, and it's going to be great for everybody to be able for everybody to learn something about it fully today. And I'm sure you got a great message for us here today. I'm going to jump right into my daily devotion I have for everybody. Normally every show I have is called God is My All in All. It is possible to be alone yet not lonely, to feel down but not out, to experience loss and recover. All is possible because the Spirit of God fills me with a steady stream of comfort and love. Experience a loss or a broken heart, I invite the love of God to heal me. God's love is powerful in restoring my body, mind, and spirit. If all I am grieving, I trust in His promise of Spirit's comfort and restoration. I recall the story of Job, who went from having everything to losing everything. Possessions, friendships, social status, health, eventually God restores it all to Job. Even beyond what had been lost, I trust in God within to restore me to wholeness. The ups and downs in life are temporary, but God's love is constant and sure. Okay, Matthew 28:20, remember, I am with you always. That's a great verse for today because it kind of reminds me of Daniel. He's God's real close with him, and he really spends a lot of time with God. Well, we all do here in the ministry, but it's just like a little something kind of remind me there. But it's awesome to time, quality time with God, because when you do that, you stay in the glory, you build up the grace in your life, and that's where healing and transformation happens in your life, is when you stay in the glory, when you spend that little time with God. It doesn't only mean that you have to get on your knees and scream to God every day. It means that while you're riding in your car or you're hanging out, just speak to God a little bit. You know, hey, Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Father, I'm just having a hard day today. Can you help me? Or, Father, thank you for what you've done for me. You know, how you doing, Father? You know, give me something where I can feel your presence around, and He will. 100% of the time, He will give you something where you feel His presence. He'll have somebody to walk up to you and say, hey, or something, because you got to know God is in everybody and everything. He's everywhere, and that's what Jonah found out, too. He found out the hard way that God was everywhere because the whale showed up and all that other stuff. He couldn't leave God. God couldn't leave him. He was always there. He even says in the Bible, in the depths of hell, God is still there. So, you know, he's not gone. He's everywhere. So His presence, His loving presence, is always there. I mean, if you're a son of God and you've received Christ, He's going to baby you. You know, your father, your a true loving father will baby you. You know, if you had a father, you know, that actually spoiled you growing up and always gave you those toys, always gave you this and gave you that, you know, how he babies you, he kind of spoils you, and God will do that to you. You keep that connection, He will spoil you. He'll give you things. Now, He won't spoil you to a point that a human father will spoil you, but He will give you things that you need. You know, anything that to make your life better, He will do that. One of the main things I see to this day is that the church doesn't recognize that. They think it's as a religion and as a place where you just go and hang out. And God's there, that's all good, but it's only good, you know, the hour you're there at church, and then they're back to their ways. That ain't relationship. You have to build that relationship with God, and then the whole world opens up. Because if you really think about it, in the original family, God had a relationship with Adam and Eve, but they broke it. God walked through the garden with them. He fed them. He spoke with them. He wants to be like that with you. Since Christ died and He was the new Adam and built that relationship up through Him, we can have that relationship with God again. Build that relationship up between you and Father. Build that relationship up, and you'll see your life develop. You'll see, you know, amazing miracles. You'll see your family get healed. You'll see all type of things. You'll have protection around you like you never thought. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today. Now, Daniel, what all have you learned about Jubilee? And can you, you know, tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely, Stan. I'm excited to get to. If I could just take a brief moment and just let the listeners find out a little bit about myself, just share briefly.
Okay.
But from the age of about 13 to 26, I just lived for myself and kind of lived a life that was just full of selfishness. And I mean, there were all kinds of things involved in that lifestyle, from the just from evil you know, I didn't set out to do any of those things. I didn't set out to, you know, to specifically live for myself or to do evil things. I just didn't know. I was just blind and really ignorant that there was a life of God. But, you know, even though I had gone to church and things like that, but that kind of lifestyle landed me at a place called Teen Challenge in 2004.
Amen.
That's when God began to do a saving work in my life. And I know he'd even begun sooner and was willing before that, but that's kind of when I began to recognize the work that he was doing in my life. And I'm a resident of Catawba County, North Carolina. I live in Hickory. One son, he's 19 years old. Proud of him, proud of what God's done in his life. And, I just really enjoy blessing people and sharing the love of God with people. And even as you said there earlier, that you know, he is with us always, even until the end of the age. And, so that's
Amen.
A little about me. And God's just been really, really, really good to me. I don't deserve any of it, but he doesn't stop, and he doesn't care what I deserve. He wants to give me goodness, and I think that he feels that way towards everyone else.
Amen.
As well. And so...
Daniel, tell us a little bit about your ministry. I know you got a little bit of a street ministry going on here, and tell us a little bit about your street ministry that you do.
Okay. One of the things, I guess it's kind of a marketplace ministry, but it's also could be a street ministry as well. I have a heart for the broken, you know, since I've come from that kind of lifestyle, broken, the lost, the needy, and you know, I know there's the ministry, I've tentatively called the ministry Dark Night Street Light, because in Isaiah there's a scripture that talks about darkness of being upon the people. And typically a lot of times I'm out at nighttime, and maybe I'm, you know, I'm passing by a lot of street lights and different things. And, you know, but I want to be that light to the world. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. And I take it literally when the scripture says that. He said that to the people that he was talking to there when we see him speaking so many thousand years ago, but that was meant for us now too. And I think that I want to be that light to the world, even if darkness is upon the people. I just want to be that light that can bring the light of Christ into someone else's life because of how good he's been to me. And so yes, a little about Dark Night Street Lights, and it's a tentative name, but I think that's what I feel like the Lord is maybe wanting me to name it, and it sounds kind of cool. So God has great ideas and great plans. So,
yeah, he does. Sometimes he has better plans than what we can think of sometimes.
But yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome, man.
Well, I'm excited about the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
Okay, if I go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay. Well, the place I really wanted to start out this morning is just to speak real briefly on faith. Now, it's kind of like, well, you know, what's faith got to do with this? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 gives us a good clue about what faith is and really, you know, it says that we got another scripture that we'll look at, Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. And, you know, I wanted people to be able to receive what they hear today, because I feel it's important not only for the area that we live in, you know, what about the year of Jubilee is significant to us. How can we apply it to our lives? What does it mean that it's the year of Jubilee? And you know, how can we activate this thing called the year of Jubilee in our lives? And so Hebrews 11:1 says that, I'm going to look at it in a little different translation than I actually have committed to memory, but it says that faith is the confidence of what we hope, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. You know, I used to not have a good reputation, and God has done had to really do a work of recovery in my life. Actually, last year, recovery was one of the words that He gave me. He said, "This is a word for this year for you, and just to recover." We see Jesus talking about or being prophesied as the one who will bring recovery, sight to the blind. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I walked, you know, I was just blind. I walked in my own ways. I didn't, you know anything about God, even though I'd been to church and listened to a lot of the stuff. I just never really got a personal relationship with Jesus and also by the Father. So, you know, I want to be able to receive. I want people to be able to receive this about the year of Jubilee. I don't claim to know everything about it, because this is a fairly new message. It's really fresh to me. But to tell you about how I found out it was even the year of Jubilee, I saw a news report about our cities here in North Carolina, Hickory specifically, Morganton, and Lenora. And there had been a Gallup poll done, and that Gallup poll said that we were one of the most depressed cities, or the group of cities were some of the most depressed cities in North Carolina, or actually in the nation. And so I just really kind of struck me wrong, and it kind of, like, do you ever rub the cat's hair the opposite direction? That's kind of what that did to me, you know. Cats don't usually like that. So I... Yeah. That's how I felt. That was kind of stroking me wrong, right? So I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, I want to go out and do something about this. What can I do? What can I tell the people? And I just heard quietly in my spirit, tell them it's the year of Jubilee. And so I, you know, oftentimes, you know, I think, well, was that me? Did I just make that up? Is that my own fault? And so I like to check things out. You know, you can look in the Bible. And sometimes, like now, we live in this age of technology, so I Googled it. That's what you do if you don't know. So I Googled it, and sure enough, it is the year of Jubilee. And so I wanted to take a minute and look at those scriptures where the year of Jubilee is mentioned in the Bible. In one place is Leviticus 25:10. And so in Leviticus 25:10, this says, set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a year of Jubilee for you. And when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a Jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own, and don't gather the grapes from your unpruned vine. It will be a year of Jubilee for you, and you must keep it holy. You may eat whatever the land produces on its own. In the year of Jubilee, each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. So that was Leviticus 10 through 13. And
that's pretty awesome, kind of, man, because if you really think about it, you know, I saw a lot of people returning back to where they came from, man, and whether they want to or not. I even had a situation, not meaning to bump into what you were saying, but it was kind of like, I mean, I had a revelation myself where I've been pulled back to my hometown, Conover, North Carolina, and to go back there and to go back to a few churches and stuff around there. It's pretty cool. Because it's starting to make sense. I mean, the Jubilee that you're talking about is starting to make sense to a lot of people, making sense to me too. But, go ahead, man. Let me jump in there.
Well, no, that's fine, and that's, you know, and I think it speaks to a lot of people. Even, you know, we no matter what religious or affiliations we've had, or what church denominations that we've gone to. I know at least here in the area that I can see and that I've grown up in and I've lived in for 38 years in this area, you know, that there's a lot of times people can connect easier to God by going to a place that feels comfortable for them, you know, whether that place be, you know, this denomination or that denomination. that can bring a lot of comfort. So they're in essence, really, they're just kind of returning to their clan, you know, the kind of their roots, if you will. And and that's one thing I can see that it can happen, and I think that's what God wants to do. I don't think God the Father really cares about what church we go to, but just that we have that relationship with Him, and whatever method, as long as it's of Him, that we use to find that relationship with Him, whatever mechanism or tool it is that He would bring and reveal Himself to us in an intimate, personal way, I think He's going to do it, you know, and so I'm all for it. And it's kind of unity, really. It can produce a lot of unity in our area.
Amen.
And I feel like for several years now, I've had people speaking into my life that I know God sent me just to speak into my life and to build me up and to help me out. And those folks have been, you know, they've been like revival oriented, you know, and they've really been like blessed, you know, God's bringing revival over and over and over. That's the theme. And I think until that, there's a couple things that personally I feel won't need to happen in order for revival to come. And revival in one sense is it has to happen in the heart of an individual first. And then there also has to be a unity, and that comes. And I feel like that unity has to be multicultural. It has to include all the people that live in an area. It can't have any boundaries. And there's going to have to be unity. Everybody's going to have to agree. There's another scripture that comes to mind. It says that, you know, two can't even walk in the same direction unless they agree. So, you know, if it can't happen with two people, it's not going to happen with the rest, you know. So we've got to start somewhere, so we don't despise the day of small beginnings either. And we look around, and, you know, you can say, wow, you know, there's this news report been put out, and this Gallup poll was done, and it's in the media. And, you know, so that was the message, you know, that I feel like God's given me, at least I don't know for how long, but I feel like that's what He's given me. He wants me just to proclaim the year of Jubilee. A couple things that are specific to the year of Jubilee, and I actually didn't mention this, but it says, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. And that's good, you know, and on the Day of Atonement. And so we know that we can look ahead in the New Testament, and we see that, you know, today is the day of salvation, and that not to harden our hearts as they did in the rebellion when they were brought out of the land of Egypt. And so, you know, as there's the day of, this is the Day of Atonement today, and you know, our sins are paid for. Jesus did that.
Amen.
And so that's a part of proclaiming that year of Jubilee. That's a good thing. If there's anything that makes me happy, it's to know that, you know, makes me want to celebrate and have Jubilee, it's that Jesus has paid for my sins, that He did that work on the cross and in the garden prior to that. And so that makes me happy. But
one thing that some people are, when you're talking about that, there's some people who've been in churches all their lives, and it was kind of like the Pharisees, you know, like during Jesus' time, he's like, Jesus, why are you speaking to these tax collectors? Why are you speaking to these sinners and prostitutes and all this? And he said, I didn't come to save the saved or the holies. I came to save the unholy, the forgotten ones. And that's what he came for. And I heard a minister talking not too long ago. He said, God is unfair at times. Some of the people you think is the most worst and has the worst sins, that's the ones he will give breaks to. He will open their lives out and redo them. And he says there's a lot of people been going to church for years, and they've kept all the law, which they ain't living the law, when we accept Christ in you, the law, like they say, the law is put into your heart. It's not it's not a big tablet or a book you've got to read. It's already in you. You already know what's right and wrong because it's in you. And he said there's a lot of people, when that happens, they don't realize that God, when they accept him, he starts renewing them like he did you. And then when he starts rebuilding you, it don't. I have heard of times where it has happened all of a sudden, but it's very rare. Most of the time, it's certain times that he's doing it. It takes a while to rebuild a person. It takes a while to build a building, man. You know, it takes a while to create a baby in a mother's womb. It takes a while. It ain't done all of a sudden. That would be weird. You know, if the guy's already 6 foot tall in his mama's womb, that would be weird. You know, man, what's up with this? You know, but anyway, it takes a while to build a person up from the bottom up, and he has to do it gradually, where you know what's going on, where your mind will understand what's going on, and sometimes it takes. You know, he'll send the right people to you that you need to be around and remove all the bad ones out of your life. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, since I came to Christ, you know, all of my friends don't like me no more. I'm boring. Well, that's good. You need to be boring to them, but you'll need them around you, you know. And it's just things like that. And, you know, he's got to rebuild you. And then that one day when he has you rebuilt and you sit back and look through all the things you've been through, you'll see, you know, man, God was working through my life. I do think better. I do see things better. And it's a process. And I've even went through the process myself. I mean, I had a long childhood of abuse and stuff like that. And when I became a minister, I had a lot of this baggage on me. And the church that I went to, it was kind of like a cleansing point because I didn't have all this religious dogma slammed in me. Well, you're a bad sinner, and you're this, and you're that. And, you know, when you already have fear in your life, you add more fear to it, it's a disaster, man. It's like you're like a paranoid cat, you know, drop of a pen, they jump, you know. So it's that's what you're like, and you've got to be taken out at paranoia to be redone. And the whole time, my consciousness was cleansed, or I'll say my inner man was cleansed. I was being cleansed. Christ was rebuilding me. He's renewing me. And then when I was about ready, he put me out on my own. He's like, you're ready. And I needed that. And I might not, agree with a lot of things that were they was teaching, whatever, but there was a renewing going on in me, and I was a better man from that. And that's, that's how he was working with you. That's how he can work with one of the audience members today. You know, you accept him in your heart, and it may take a day, it may take a year or two, but he will rebuild you, he will renew you, and he will give you a better life, better than the life you ever had before, better than the life you ever had before. And the Holy Spirit will be your best friend. You build that relationship up like I was talking about earlier, you will see a new man, a new lady build up inside of you. And, you know, it's amazing to see what the Lord will do with you and how he renews you. It's amazing, man.
It sure is. You know, there's I don't know if I really did a good job earlier when you asked me about, what's my ministry. But, you know, I go out, I go in the streets, I go in the marketplaces, I run into people that are those untouchables, like you kind of mentioned, or, you know, the undesirables, and sometimes, not always, because I know that God's will is not for anyone to perish, but for all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and so the knowledge of God really, I guess, is one of the things that's key to it. It's like knowing him, and knowing him for yourself, and, you know, there's a number of ways we need to hear his voice. Actually, when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word, it's talking about his rhema word. That's the word that you hear inside, the same voice that told me this is the year of Jubilee. So, you know, but I've run into people, so I've seen healings, I've seen God heal people, I've laid my hands on them, the sick, I've seen them recover, I've gone to their homes at times, prayed with them there, seen them healed there. I've seen, you know, the prophetic realms. I've seen God lead me to places or to people directly. And I go out, I'm crazy enough to think that God's actually talking to me, and I go out and I find these people, and it's really, I find them, and it's like divine appointments happening, and so it's just beautiful. It's beautiful the way that Holy Spirit leads and guides a believer into all truth and tells us of things to come. And so, you know, speaking of that, there's a few things that take place specifically. I'm just going to hit the high points during the year of Jubilee. But the first thing that we see there in the beginning of that Leviticus chapter 25 is freedom. It's freedom. It's freedom. And so that there's a freedom. You know, Jesus came to set captives free or to set those who were enslaved free. He came to set those who were chained free. If we see even during Jesus' trial with Pontius Pilate, a known murderer and a rebel was set free. That's the first thing that happens when Jesus comes to a people is the captives are set free. And when he shows up, he's us on our sake, and so that we get to go free. And that's really difficult, I think. That's the simplicity of the gospel, is that it's just, you know, take it for what it says. Jesus, you know, you are forgiven. Your sins are put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. As far as the east is from the west, so he has removed your sins from you. And so that's it, freedom, that there's freedom from your sins. There's freedom, you know, to worship God the way you want to. There's the way that he desires you to, actually. And so that we see that taking place in the year of Jubilee. There's redemption of property, of the land. I know individuals here in the county who have prayed for maybe like 20 years. 2 Chronicles, 5:17. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. And I'll hear them and I'll heal their land. And so I think there's a healing of the land going on and a redeeming. God's redeeming the land. There was another news story. You could see it on the front page of Hickory Daily Record back, I think, Wednesday's Hickory Daily Record. There was actually both of these things I'm talking about were on the front page at the same time. The Gallup poll, and then there were big pictures of where Duke Power has, you know, the land has been polluted. The river, actually, Catawba River, has been polluted. And our waterway systems here, which are so valuable. We know that water is one substance on the earth, and we looked around. We're the astronauts searching the galaxy, looking for other planets that might have water on it, because if there's water, then there can be life. And so, and they're not finding it many other places, you know. At least they don't have proof.
Yeah, our rivers and our streams is the blood veins of Mother Earth, man. And that's where life comes from. I mean, we have to have water. You know, creatures have to have water, or crops have to have water. That's the blood that is the key to growing, to keeping our bodies going. I mean, once we pollute that, we're polluting ourselves, we're polluting our crops, you know, and they don't see the big picture. They just, a lot of these people just think about, you know, big money and don't think about what they're doing to people. I mean, how are they going to have customers if they kill them all through their pollutants? You know, it don't make no sense, right. You know.
But, well, and that's exactly right. I mean, we're kind of biting off our nose to spite our face. And and we don't even realize it, but that's what blindness does. But you know, that's what sin in general does. And you know, I believe Jesus even said, you know, that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so, you know, there's that lust that's in the world, whether it's money or perversion or anything like that. You know, to wrong your neighbor. Amen. But and some of those things that are outlined, that are prescribed in there, we know that I'm not here to beat up on Duke Powell or anything like that, but I just know that our land is precious, that God gave it to us, that we should be good stewards of it. And what we see with redemption of the property, it says in Leviticus 25:23, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me. You're only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. and you know, it's like we you know, buy a piece of property and we think, well, I can do what I want with this now. But, you know, God has a will and a purpose and a plan for our land, for our city, for our nation, and for the world as a whole. And he died so that this land can be redeemed through purposes that he has planned for it. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year in the hearts and minds of people. Maybe people are going to be giving away land to charities that are going to do good things, or to churches, and just to see what can be done, you know, within the kingdom of God, you know, with that land and the value that's going to come out of that.
Amen.
Yep. And, and then there's another aspect is the redemption of the poor and the enslaved. And so we know there's a buying back. God's buying back this land. He's buying back that, and we can see that in Leviticus 25:35. It says, if one of your fellow Israelites falls into poverty and cannot support himself, support him as you would a foreigner or as a temporary resident, and allow him to live with you. Do not charge interest or make a profit at his expense. And so that's talking about being good to each other, and that's money involved there again. And so we see, you know, there's homeless here in our region, and there's been quite a bit more, but I don't think that's something that we should, you know, cry over. We should do something about it. And you know, in their culture, it was different. You know, there wasn't like there probably weren't homeless shelters per se, I think, back in those times. But if someone had to take you in and show you the kindness of God and house you during that time. But these things are prescribed, you know, and they're written for our example today.
Yeah.
And we know that the people that did these things, just like I said earlier, they obtained a good testimony, a good reputation. And so that's another aspect of it. And so there's freedom throughout the land. There's redemption of property. And then there's also the redemption of the poor or those enslaved. And when the slaves were set free or given the choice to serve willingly under the those who had been their slave master prior to that. And thank God we don't have a huge problem here in our area with slavery, but it does exist all throughout the world. I've even heard of cases of it in Charlotte with sex slave trade and things like that. But so it's, you know, sin doesn't care really who it gets. It's just out to get. But that's the year of Jubilee. You know, that's good. That's good stuff. You know, it's reason to celebrate Jesus. It's reason to just let your light shine. It's reason to do something good for someone. It's reason to go back to your clan, to your origins, to see that unity come. And, as I was doing this, Stan, I was taking a few notes. One of the things that I thought about was, you know, when I read that about those that fall into poverty, and we've seen job loss, and we've seen those things. So there might be, you know, people out there who are struggling right now with what am I going to do? You know, I've lost my job, and I've been putting in applications everywhere. I've heard that a whole lot. Well, you know, I'll tell you a testimony about while I was at Teen Challenge back in 2004. I was speaking to the executive director. We were riding in a big dump truck. We were going to working on a project and a building project, and we, you know, West Virginia's really wild. And we were going to a river, to a creek, to get out as many rocks as we could get and load them on the dump truck. And we were doing all this by hand, and we were headed out to do that, but the guy sitting next to me in the front seat had some questions for the director, and I listened and let them two talk back and forth, and I thought about my own situation. I had lost my job. I had lost my car. I'd lost my house. I had lost my reputation. I had lost everything that was of any value or substance to me at that point in my life, and it landed me there at Teen Challenge. You didn't get there by being on a winning streak. And, and I had just really blown it. I had really blown it. And I asked the director, I said, Jim, I've lost my job. My parents even died. My grandmother's dead. I don't have any like I have a few aunts and uncles I'm not really close to, you know, and I lost my job. I've ruined my reputation. I said, when I'm done with this program, I have to go back home, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I believe God gave him a word, and he probably had heard that from other students looking back on it and thinking about, you know, the ministry he was in. But he said, trust God. That's what you'll do. And I did my best to trust God, and God has provided for me. You know, he's given me back some type of reputation. If I have one, it's you know, because of God. If I have a job, it's because of God. I do have a job, you know, and so I have a home. I have, you know, relationships with my family. So all these things can be restored, you know, and you can recover the things that you lost during the year of Jubilee, and not just because it's the year of Jubilee, it's all the time. But in Matthew chapter 21, it says that there's a parable about the evil farmers. So now listen to another story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. He leased the vineyard to tenant farmers and moved to another country. Time of the grape harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. So the landowner sent a larger group of his servants to collect for him, but the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But when the tenant farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him, dragged him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. When the owner of the vineyard returns, Jesus asks, what do you think he'll do to those farmers? And so, you know, here we sit on land that God gave us, that's given to us, and if we go around treating that land like we own it, push Christ out of our life and out of our communities and out of our cities, out of our counties and our state, our country, you know, how do we think he's going to be treating us when he returns? And, you know, there's another one actually in the next chapter, and chapter 22 of Matthew talks about a great feast. This is in stark contrast with what we just saw. And Jesus told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they refused to come. So then he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed and everything's ready. Come to the banquet. But when the guests he invited ignored them their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers, insulted them, and killed them. The king was furious. He sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servant, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king had come to meet the guest, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you're here without the wedding clothes? But he had no reply. Then the king said to his aide, bind his hands and feet and throw him out into outer darkness while there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I feel like right now God is trying to call a lot of people. You know, he's sending out his servants into the streets. I feel like God's given me that kind of ministry, reconciliation, to invite people to come into the kingdom of God. And, you know, sometimes you're not received, and they just don't come. People get too busy for whatever reason. But I know that you can still be in relationship, even while doing this. It's never really made a distinction between the secular world and the church world. He was in both. You know, it's all one to him. And so, you know, whether you're on a job, you can be a witness for Christ. Whether, you know, when you're at church, you definitely should be. And you know, wherever you go. And so there's what we look back to, as I'm about to kind of wrap up this thing, at least from my end. But You know, we should hold loosely to the things that we've been given. You know, that's one point that we can see from that other story. Just because God has given us something doesn't mean that we shouldn't share it with someone else. If it's our home, if it's our food, if it's our finances, you know, he said, freely you have been given. And there's power in the kingdom that needs to be given, power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers. And that's the one thing Jesus definitely commanded us to do, but he wants us to do that out of love. And that's the greatest commandment, love, you know, the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as then as yourself. And so if we're doing those things, and then we can step into some power in the kingdom, and in the kingdom of God, and we can see people delivered and set free and healed. And it's definitely time to do that, because today is the day of salvation. And so, you know, we just want to be, so if we get something in prayer, we need to give that away. You know, we have a Matthew party, you know, invite everybody to your house or something. Just invite people, do something. I know that there's nothing that we do for the kingdom of God that God considers too small. You know?
Yeah.
And so when we step out and try, whoever's listening out there, you know, maybe God's laid an idea on your heart, on your mind, and you feel like you're too insignificant to try it. Well, I can just say to you, you know, I'm a little person myself, and God, but God's done great things through me, and I expect him to do great things through you. And that's that word of faith, you know. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, or is the spirit of Christ. And so when you hear about these things and you hear someone else doing something that was really good, or that you thought, wow, that was great that they did that, you can do that same thing too. Jesus even said that the things that he did, that you can do greater. You'll do those same things and you can do greater because he goes to the Father. And so just believe that and begin trying. And that's that faith. Faith is an action. You just try something. You know, it doesn't do good to say to someone who doesn't have any food, hey, you know, be warm, be safe, good luck, basically. You know, but if you put something in their hand, if it's, you know, food, if you can give them a place to stay for the night, or put them up and take them to the homeless shelter, a ride, water, whatever it is, when you do that, you're doing it to Jesus. And so, you know, you can do those same things, even if it's something small. You got to start small sometimes. And then, you know, if we you know, nobody builds a house without laying a foundation. So, Stan, you said that earlier even. But there's one other thing, because it talks about that there's foreigners. Like, you feel like you're a foreigner in your country, and maybe you're one of those people that it mentions there in Leviticus, and you don't have, you felt like you're misplaced, or someone's taking you in. Maybe some people have come and shown you the kindness of God, but as you live the kind of life like Abraham did, and we look at him, we put him up on such a high place, and you know, he's the father of our faith that it mentions in Hebrews chapter 11, but in chapter 22 of Genesis, we see Abraham. He's got his son. God has put him to the test and asked him to sacrifice his one son. And that's the same thing that God's done for us. But he puts Abraham to the test. And he says, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. I think of that fire as the passion and the desire to do whatever God says to do, and that knife being the word of God, like a sword, and he put that on his son. He put the wood on his son's shoulder, you know, because eventually Isaac was going to carry that same fire, and so it's generational, you know, father's heart being turned to the children, and the children back to the father. That's something that's taking place now, and can turn place. That's that unity, that uniting, and returning to your clan. Restoration coming to families, and so we want that for the year's Jubilee, you know, and I just believe that that's happening, going to begin to happen even as people listen to this, you know, listen to this broadcast, and that's going to begin to happen, and hope is going to spring up in their heart, and they're going to begin to believe that they can do it, that their life can be restored. Oh. So
Dan was
Yeah.
Well, we're running out of time here a little bit, man, but
okay.
Man, it was great talking to you today, and we learned a lot from you about Jubilee and about your life, and you know, I'm sure today it really touched somebody. I know the Lord is touching somebody now, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer right quick for everybody, and I ask everybody to close their eyes, just fold their hands, however they want to do this. Lord Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing Daniel on the broadcast today. I want to thank you for all the wonderful things you have given us. I want to thank you for our families, for our homes, for our food, for our jobs, for our transportation, whatever that may be, for everything you've given us. I want to thank you for that because it's all been a gift, and we appreciate everything that you're doing for us. We thank you for you communion with us and be willing to receive us when we ask you into our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for all this. You've been so gracious to us, and I know there's a lot of us that takes you for granted, and I ask you to forgive us for that. But, Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch us this week. Reveal yourself to us this week. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us this week. You know, come within us. I mean, you're already within us, but, you know, stir us up inside. Stir the Spirit up inside of us and let us know that you're there and build a strong relationship with us. And I ask for you to touch every one of the audience members. Whenever they're listening, touch them. Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. touch them. Reveal yourself to them. As soon as they listen to this prayer, let it touch them.
Yeah.
And we ask you, it's in Jesus' holy name, amen. And
amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask you, amen, man. At this time, I'd like to ask anybody that ain't received Christ, that don't really know Christ, I ask you just to close your eyes and fold your hands and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you in my heart. I ask you to forgive all the sins I've done today, I've ever done, and sins that I don't know that I've done, I ask you to forgive these sins. I accept, Lord, that you died on the cross for me. I accept that you rose again for me. You took all of my sins. You died for them. Your blood poured on me for that, to purify me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to flow to them. Go into their heart now. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up. Fill them up. I ask you to fill them up from their head to their toe, Holy Spirit. And people, if you just said this prayer, you accepted the Lord, and the Holy Spirit has just landed right into your heart. And I like to say, you know, blessings go to everybody listening to us today. And I hope God touched every one of y'all with some of Daniel's, what Daniel was talking about today, about the Jubilee and his life story. I hope it touched y'all in some way in your life. And just, you know, take that into consideration and just see what he went through and some of the things he talked about and put that in your life and, you know, let it help you. I know it helps me. I mean, I've heard some of his stories, and it's helped me. And I'm sure it's going to help you. And, Daniel, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And, you know, come back sometime, man.
Thank you, Stan. I enjoyed it. It's a pleasure. My privilege. Thank you.
And, you know, everybody, you know, come back, you know, next Thursday. We're going to have a show around 10 a.m. And I do got a few a little bit more time. I do got a few announcements. If anybody ever wants to call in for a healing or a blessing or anything, the number to this show for a call-in, and you can call in, and when I see your number, I'll you know, tone you in where I can speak to you. The number is 347-996-3615. It's 347-996-3615. And I want to remind everybody that if you go to blogtalkradio.com/locate, LOCAATE 77, you can listen to all the shows that I have on archive. Any show that you see on archive you want to listen to, you can listen to it. Whatever touched your heart, just go straight to it. And I do want to advertise my Healing Light Facebook page. Is www.facebook.com/Healing Light in large letters, Healing Light Show. Just go there. If you've got a prayer request or anything, just put your prayer request on that page, and I have already prayed over that page, and you know, the Lord will start working on your prayer. And I will go back to that page, and I will pray for it myself and have many other of my friends pray too. So, you know, it's a win-win situation there. And we will pray for it on air too. So you'll have a win-win situation there. And I do want to announce about Art Thomas coming to Maiden Community Center. It's going to be May the 16th and 17th. May the 16th, it's going to be from 7 to 9. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., excuse me. On Saturday, going to be from 9 a.m. to about 3:30, to whenever he gets finished with us. You know, he's got a lot to try to get into that one day. So what we're going to be talking about is Holy Spirit empowering evangelism. So what it's going to be doing is going to teach you how to pray to people on the street, how to pray to your family members, how to do prayers and watch them happen. Not to, you know, just sit there and pray and just hope something happens. It may not. It ain't going to be like that. We're going to build your faith up for when you pray, you're going to see things happen instantly. It's going to happen instantly because we're going to build that spirit up in you. You're going to see things happen. And the Holy Spirit's going to be, you know, up and going during this workshop. Anybody sick, having to come, you'll give somebody to pray for. And, you know, people get healed during the workshop. So, you know, just come to the workshop. It's love offering gift. You know, you can give a love offering. There's no charge. And, you know, you do want to give a love offering to help Art Thomas for coming down here. But there's no charge, really. And, you know, you're going to have a great time. You're going to have a great time with the Holy Spirit working through you. You're going to, you know, I'm sure Christ is going to reveal himself even stronger to you during this workshop. So just show up and see, you know, see what happens and see how the Lord is going to touch you during this workshop. And I'm going to say this again. It's May 16th and 17th. 16th, 7 to 9. The 17th, 9 until about 3:30. So God bless everyone, one of y'all, and I'll see y'all next Thursday. And again, you know, Daniel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll see you next Thursday, everybody.
Told us we'd be rescued. What has changed and why